The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Tells us Chamisha Dvorim, Iru Es Aviseinu, B'Tishu Bo'ov. Five things happened to our fathers on the ninth day of Av throughout history. Nigzar al Aviseinu shalayichnesu l'oretz, the decree was sealed that our fathers should not enter into Eretz Yisrael. This was by the Maraglim, that when Moshe sent out the spies, they came back on Tisha B'Av, on the ninth day of Av. And this is when they slandered Eretz Yisrael, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu sealed the decree that they would not be allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael, but they would die in the desert. V'chorav habayis b'rishayna, it was on Tisha B'Av, on the ninth day of Av, when the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed by Babel, by the Babylonians. Ubishniya, it was on the ninth day of Av, when the second Beis HaMikdash, many centuries later, was destroyed by Edom, by the Romans. The Nilkado Beitar, it was on the ninth day of Av, when Beitar was a city of great multitude, and the city was captured and destroyed. The Nechreshoha'ir, and it was on Tisha B'Av, on the ninth day of Av, that Yerushalayim was plowed over. Nechreshoha'ir. So the Mishnah tells us that historically, the ninth day of Av was not a good day for Klal Yisrael. Five great catastrophes took place, beginning with the decree that our fathers would not enter into Eretz Yisrael, but they would die in the desert. The first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed by Babel. The second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed by the Romans. Beitar, which was a city of great, great multitude of Jews, was destroyed, and eventually Yerushalayim was plowed over. Therefore, Mishenichnas Av, Memaitin B'Simcha. The Mishnah tells us when Av comes, we are required to minimize and reduce our Simcha because of these great catastrophes which took place. The Gemara tells us on Dav Chof Tes, how do we know that it was on the ninth day of Av that the decree was sealed that our fathers should not enter into Eretz Yisrael? So the Gemara goes through an entire calculation, and it concludes by telling us, Shlach lecho anoshim, send out people for yourself, Hashem told Moshe. The Tanya we learned in the Braisa, Be'esrim B'tisha B'Sivan. This was the 29th of Sivan. Sholach Moshe Maraglim, Shlach Lecho Anoshim, send out Hashem told Moshe to send out people. The Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Be'esrim V'tisha B'Sivan Sholach Moshe Maragli, that it was on the 29th of Sivan that Moshe was asked to send out the Maraglim, or he decided to send out the spies. Uksiv Vayeshuv Mitor Oretz Miketz Arboim Yem, and it's written that they spied out the land for 40 days. 40 days from the 29th of Sivan comes out on the 9th day of Ov. So they returned on the 9th day of Ov. Uksiva tisa kola eda vayitnu es kelem vayifko om balayla ahu. And when they heard the report of the spies of what Eretz Yisrael was in their eyes, that it was a land which was Echeles Yeshveha, it was a land which consumed its inhabitants, and they said that we could not conquer it and we will be devoured and destroyed. So the entire Edor lifted up their voices and they wept on that night. Omar Abba, Omar Rabbi Yechanan, Tisha B'Av Hoyo. The Gemara tells us that night was Tisha B'Av, because they were sent out in Erev Reish Chodesh Sivan and they spied out the land for 40 days. And when they returned 40 days later, it was the 9th of Av. Omar Lehem HaKodesh Baruch Hu, Atem B'Chisem B'Chia Shel Chinom, V'Ani Kevea Lachem B'Chia L'Deiris. Kodesh Baruch Hu said that you are weeping for no reason, because I have already promised you that you can go into the land and you can conquer the land and you will settle it. So therefore you are weeping for no reason, but since this is what you're doing, therefore I will establish this night for generations that it should be a Yom Bechir, a day of weeping. So this, the Mishnah, the Gemara tells us, is the source, the Sheirish of Tisha B'Av. Five great tragedies took place in history, all on Tisha B'Av, on the 9th of Av. And the first one was the Chet of the Maraglim, that when the spies came back with their treachery, in which they were precipitating a rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu and against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was the 9th day of Av. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that since you are weeping Bechiyah Shel Chinam for no justified reason, Ani Kevea Lochem Bechiyah L'Deiris, I shall set aside this night a weeping for generations. And therefore Tisha B'Av was set aside, that it should be, heaven forbid, it has been a day of tragedy for Klal Yisrael. The Gemara in Masechta Erechin, the Mishnah in the Gemara, and of Tesvov, tells us that in regards to this first tragedy, or this first episode, this first crisis that took place on Tisha B'Av, and from here the Tisha B'Av was established to such a day, what was the Aveira? What was the sin that caused this? So the Mishnah tells us, and Avtes Vav, V'meitzi Shemra Lohokel Ulahachmer, Ketzat. If someone forces a woman, Amanis, a single woman, rape or pitoy or seduction, the Torah says that he must pay a penalty, and this penalty is chamishim sloim, 50 silver coins. B'meitzi shemra, if someone slanders a woman, if he marries a woman and now he claims that she was an adulteress, he has to pay me'aselo, 100 sloim. Nimtzah ha'emer bepiv chomer mina eisem aisem. From here we learn that if what someone does with his speech is more severe than what someone does physically. And so do we find that the decree was not sealed on our fathers in the desert only because of Loshon Hora, because of slander. As it states, Ve'inusei sise esra pomim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that you have tested me 10 times in the desert. And now I am sealing the decree, and it was because of the hate of Loshon Hora. Then the Gemara tells us, how do we know this? Maha meitzi shemra al eitzim v'avonim, kacha meitzi shemra al chaveira lachas kam v'kam. If someone slanders, maybe we will say that there it wasn't because of regular slander. There they slandered Eretz Yisrael, Eretz HaKdosha. So how can we learn from there that if someone slanders another person, it should be so severe? So the Gemara says, no, just to the contrary. If someone slanders Eitzim V'Avonim, wood and stone, Eretz Yisrael is Eretz HaKdosha, but it's still wood and stone. If this is treated with such severity, if someone slanders a human being, al achas kama v'kama, how much more so? So from the fact that such a punishment was exacted because of what they spoke against Eretz Yisrael, so the Gemara says, from here we can learn what it means to speak Loshon Hora against a fellow man. And then the Gemara says, how do we know that the Aveira was Loshon Hora? Because it states, Vayomusu Anoshi Meitzia Dibas Oretz Ro. The Gemara asks, how do we know that the Aveira was Loshon Hora? States by Musa Anoshi Meitzia Dibas Oretz Ro, because it says that the ones that came back, that slandered the land, they were put to death. Al Dibas Oretz Shahitziu. So from here we learn that the Aveda was the slander which they brought out. We see from here that the first tragedy that was to take place on Tisha B'Av, and from here the day was established to be a day of avelis, of mourning and tragedy. The cause for this was Loshon Hora, slander. Let's go to the Gemara in Yuma. Masechta Yuma Daf Tes. The Gemara brings Daf Tes Amud Beis. Migdosh Rishayin Bipnei Machorav. We said that the second and third tragedy that took place was the destruction of the two temples, both the Migdoshes. Migdosh Rishayin Bipnei Machorav. Why was the first base of Migdosh destroyed? Because of three great avedas that the people had. There was idolatry, adultery and incest, and bloodshed. And then the Gemara goes into a discussion to bring sources how we know these things existed during the time of the first Beis Hamikdash. Then the Gemara says, Aval Migdush Sheni, the second base of Migdush, Shoyaeskin Beteira Bemitzvus Begimilas Kasodim. We know for a fact that during that time the people had studied Torah and they kept mitzvahs, and they were Esik in Gemilas Kasodim. They did Chesed, one to another. Mibnei Machorav. So why was that destroyed? Mibnei Shohei Sabai Sinas Chinom. Because there was Sinas Chinom. There was hatred between man and his fellow man. The Chofetz Chaim, Zecher Tzadik Levrocha, in his Sefer Chofetz Chaim, in his Akdoma, writes that this that the Gemara means, that there was hatred between man and his fellow man, means that was brought about because of Lashon Hora. And he brings many sources of this. Lamdecho, now this can teach us, Shishkula Sinas Chinam Keneged Shleish Averizorik Yilaraisu Shvichas Dorik. From here we can learn that if there's Lashon Hora, slander, and hatred between man and his fellow man, this is equal to the Gimel Chamurais, to the three most severe Averis in the Torah. Idolatry, adultery and incest, and bloodshed. Omar Ablezer, Eilu B'nei Odom, Sha'eichlin V'sheisin Zeh Im Zeh, V'deikrin Zeh Zeh B'charbeidin Shil V'sheinam. They were a people who would eat together and drink together, but at the same time they would be stabbing each other with the swords of their tongues. Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Elazar d'Amri Trevayu. Rabbi Yechanan and Elazar said, "Lishayim shenizgal aveinom, nizgal kotzo." First, Beis Hamikdash, where it was apparent as to what the weakness was, what the transgressions were, nizgale kotzom, so it also became revealed for how long they would go into exile. The prophet said that they would go in for 70 years. Ad melei shivim shona, when 70 years would be up, they would return from Babel to Eretz Yisrael. Migdash achreinim shelei nizgale aveinom. But in the second Beis Hamikdash, where it was not revealed or apparent what the Aveira was, because Loshon Hora, slander, is Beseser. That's something which is done secretly. Leinis Galekotsum. It was not revealed also as to the limitation of the Golus, for how long they would be in exile. B'nei Migdisheni Rishoyim Hoyo B'yeth Seser, Rashi tells us. They were Rishoyim, they were evil people secretly. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not reveal to us for how long the Golus would be. Now here we see another level. That the second Beis HaMikdash was also destroyed because of Lashon Hora. And the first Golus, exile from the first Beis HaMikdash, was 70 years. The second Golus is 2,000 years, Ve'idayin Le'posko, and it still has not ended. So we see the great force and gravitation of Lashon Hora. And we see from this Gemara that slander has even greater gravity than the three most severe Averis in the Torah, Gilarai, Shvichas, Domim, Averis, Orah. Because the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of those three, and the Golus lasted only 70 years, while the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Lashon Hora. And 2,000 years later, we're still in Golus. Another point, very important for us to understand, is when we speak of the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, we're not referring to something which took place 2,000 years ago. Because all of the Goliaths, all of the exiles, all of the churbanos, all of the devastation that has happened to Klal Yisrael in the last 2,000 years is a direct result, our sages tell us, from the Churban Beis HaMikdash, from the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Because the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, v'golu me'artzeinu, and we were forced to go into exile from our land, and therefore we were at the mercy of the nations, and we traveled from one land to another, and from one Churban to another. This was all because of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. If we would have our Beis HaMikdash in Eretz Yisrael today, and we would be living under its protective wing, then there would be security, and there would be bracha, there would be blessing for Klal Yisrael. So one has to keep in mind that when we speak of Tisha B'Av, and when we speak of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, we're not only referring to something that took place a few thousand years ago. We're referring to the Crusades. We're referring to Golus Fard, the Inquisition. We're referring to Golus Ashkenaz, all of the tremendous bloodshed that took place from the year 800 or 900 onward in England and in Germany and in Poland and other places in Europe. We're referring to all of the pogroms that took place. We're referring to the great Alilas Domim, the great blood libels of the 14th and 15th and 16th century that took tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of Jewish lives. We're referring to the Holocaust, which in our lives we have witnessed. We're referring to the Golus of Russia, which many millions of Jews are enslaved to. And Tisha B'Av was the Yom B'Chiyah, the day, and is the day, to be Mis'avel and Mis'kenen, to mourn and to weep for all of these tragedies, for all of the tragedies which took place before, and all of the tragedies which took place after the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, because they all come from that source. If we would have our Beis HaMikdash and we would have Eretz Yisrael under our control, then we would be protected from all of this. And that is why that if one studies the Kinnus, which is said on Tisha B'Av in the morning, you'll see that that Kinnus has been added to every generation. There are Kinnus there that were written by survivors of the pogroms, of the blood libels, and so on. The fact is, there was a motion once put forth by Menachem Begin that he didn't understand why Israel had to have a national day of mourning, which would take place in Nissan, when Israel always had a national day of mourning, and why it couldn't be moved to Tisha B'Av, which was the Yom B'Chiyah L'Deiros. What happened to the motion, I don't know. But this is something that we have to realize, that we're not talking about ancient history. We're talking what took place and what is taking place today. What come out, therefore, that if we would link all of Arat Soros. We are people who are suffering from the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. If we would like, want to find a cause for all of our tzoras, then the Avera would be Loshon Hara. Because that is what destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash, which has created the exile which we live in. Really, we could go even further than that. The Maral Miprag in the Sefer Netzach Yisrael asks the question. We quoted the Gemara in Tainus that when the Maraglim returned, it was the night of Tisha B'Av. And by Yisu es Kalam, they raised their voices, the people, and they cried, they wept. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Atem b'chisem b'chiyah shel chinam v'anikevei lechem b'chiyah l'deiris. You are weeping for a no justified reason, therefore I will make this night a night of weeping for generations. She asks, what does that mean? Just because they wept on that night, therefore it should become a day of weeping forever, for generations. What does it mean? And he answers very profoundly. He says that if it would not have been for what took place at the Maraglim, there would have never been a Churban or a Golus in Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the going out of Egypt, and the Bias HaOretz, the coming into the land, was one act, was one unit. This was the divine plan. And just like when they went out of Eretz Mitzrayim, out of Egypt, they say, Sifun Lireis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, you will never see Pare's face again. And Klal Yisrael will never return to slavery of Egypt. Fact is, there's even a commandment in the Torah that we are not even allowed to go back to Egypt. And this was all done through great miracles, the Yad Ramah, and with the Gvuras Hashem, with great might, so was the entry into Eretz Yisrael under the divine plan also to be in this manner. And had that been fulfilled, there would have never been a golus me'aretzenu, an exile from our land. But was hifsik or inyan? The divine plan was interrupted because the generation that went out was not capable of going into Eretz Yisrael. That was the generation that lifted their voice to weep for the fact that they had to go to Eretz Yisrael and wanted to go back to Mitzrayim, to Egypt. That was the generation that rebelled against Hashem and Moshe, and they were forced, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was forced to make a decree where this generation would die in the desert and their children would go in. So therefore, hifsiko inyan, it was interrupted. The generation that went in was not the generation that came out. It was two episodes. And that's why we find that when Yeshua took the people into Eretz Yisrael, it was not with a Yod Ramah, with a mighty hand, an open hand. It was not with the miracles of Egypt. And it was not something that was impossible to revert. And therefore the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus, was something which was Ein Lo Bitul Klal, impossible to ever revert. But the going into Eretz Yisrael was possible to revert. And that's why we find that the people were expelled. And this is what is meant. You have wept for no justified reason. I will set this night aside where it will be a Bechiya L'Doros. It will be a night of weeping for generations. Because you have interrupted the process. No longer now is it one unit. It will be now another unit. And it will be possible now for expulsion from Eretz Yisrael. This is what the Gemara means. Now, if we give some thought to that, it comes out that if the source of all of our tzoros in Golus comes from the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, but the source of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash has an earlier source, and that comes from the Meraglim, because the people rebelled against HaKadosh Baruch Hu and interrupted the whole process of the going out of Egypt and the coming into Eretz Yisrael. And that's what the Mishnah tells us is actually the source of Tisha B'Av. Now, what caused this? This was caused by Lashon Hara, that the Mishnah tells us in Masechet Erechim. Our Lashon Hara is Chatan Gzar Din, that the decree was sealed because of the aveira of slander of the mouth. So from here we can learn that all the cause, the basic cause of all of our tzoros, that comes because we are at mercy of the nations, that we are not in our land, and the pogroms and the holocausts and the blood libels and everything else, this is because of the aveira of Lashon Hara. From here we can get an insight as to what the gravity of this aveira is. The truth of the matter, this aveira has even an earlier source. It has a source right at the creation of the world. When the Almighty created Adam and Chava, and he told them that they must not eat from the tree, from the Eitz Hadas, the tree of knowledge between good and bad, in the Reishis Parshis Gimel, Vahanocha Shoyo Oru Mikol Chayes Hasode, the serpent was the wisest of all of the animals of the field. And he came to the woman and he said, Leisech Lemikol Eitz Agon, did the Almighty say that you should not eat from all of the trees? And she said, we can eat, but from this tree we are not allowed to. The serpent said, and she said, if we do, we will die. The serpent answered, Lemos Tamusu, you will not die if you eat from this tree. Ki yedele kim ki yibiyem acholchem imenu v'nifkechu einechem v'isem ki lehim yedei teivaro. Because Hashem knows that on the day that you will eat from that tree, your eyes will open and you will be like God to know good and bad. What did he mean by that? He said Hashem knows that when you will eat from this tree, your eyes will open and you will be like God. What did he mean? The Medrash tells us, Rashi brings, Kol umin seinei es bnei umnosai. Every craftsman is jealous of an equal craftsman, of a person of his level. The serpent said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very jealous. Mina eats ochal hu bores eilam. He ate from this tree, and this gave him wisdom, and he was able to create the world. And that's why he told you not to eat from this tree. Because he does not want people who are equal to him. That's why he said not to eat from this tree. Not for your good, but for his good. And in this, the Chazal tell us that the serpent came with the hate of Lashon Hara. He slandered the Almighty. The Almighty gave a command to Adam and Chava for their good.
The serpent said it was not for your good. It was for his good, because you will be as great as him. You will be like a god. And his hate was Loshon Hara. The Chazal tell us, what did he achieve with this Loshon Hara? He brought death to the world. Because death was not decreed until they ate from this tree. This means that the reason why there is death in the world is because of the hate of Loshon Hara. And then we see further. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, he said to the serpent that because you did this, Ora told me, kol behema mikol chayes hasod, you shall be cursed from every wildlife and every animal. You shall crawl on your stomach before the snake walked upright. You shall eat dust all of the days of your life. I will make hatred between you and between the woman, between your seed and her seed. He will crush your head, and you will bite his heel. This is what the snake brought upon himself with this Aveda. And to the woman, Harbo Arbe Itzveinech, you shall have much suffering. And when you conceive and give birth, it will be with great suffering. And to man, Arura ha'adoma bavurecho, the land will be cursed. Before this, the land was not cursed. And with great hardship and suffering shall you eat all of the days of your life. With the sweat of the brow you shall eat until you return to the earth, ki ofrato vel ofer toshuv, because you were taken from the dust, you shall be returned to the dust. All of this is what the serpent brought upon himself and upon all of humanity because of Loshon Hara. The Chofetz Chaim Zochein Levrocha, in his Psicha to his Sefer. Incidentally, the Chofetz Chaim was one of the greatest Gaonim and leaders of our generation, which lived during the last century. And he dedicated his life to try to bring this very serious transgression to the eyes of the public. And incidentally, it's his 50th Yahrzeit this year. 50 years since he died. And many Rosh Hashivas throughout the world have proclaimed that it's a time when we should again place more emphasis on some of the great works of Loshon Hara, speaking about this Aveda and these great efforts that he extended. And he writes in his Psicho that a person should know that when he speaks Loshon Hara, he is joining hands with the serpent who was the Mashchis Shel Briyas Ha'olam. That when a person speaks Loshon Hara, he should think that it's nothing. It's far from nothing. But he is joining hands with the serpent who was the Mashchis, the destructive force of whole humanity. There are countless cases that we could go through. The time does not allow us. But the Chofetz Chaim mentions another important case. And that is that the cause why we went into Golus in Egypt. Why we were exiled in Egypt also came because of Lashon Hara. As the Torah tells us, that Yosef, in Parashas Vayeshev, Vayove Yosef as dibosom ro el avihem. Yosef brought slander about his brethren to his father. Kol ro shehoyereya be'echov b'neileya hoyo magid lo aviv. Whatever he saw them doing wrong, he went and he told his father. One of the things that he accused them of is that they were mezalzel b'mnei shvoches, that they did not have the proper respect towards those who were the sons of the maidservants, and as if to intimate that they were avodim, they were slaves. Because of this, he was sold as a slave, the Chazal tell us. And because of this, he was sold into a slavery, because of the Lashon Hara. He went down to Egypt. And the Gemara tells us that this was the first link which brought Yaakov and the 70 people and all of Klal Yisrael into Egypt. So our entire Golus, the first Golus that we had in Egypt, was because of Lashon Hara. And I cite this example because the Chofetz Chaim writes something very interesting. When Yosef brought this dibaro, this slander, now Yosef was a tzaddik. State Yosef at tzaddik. He was the righteous one. There was no doubt that he felt he had a justification. He felt that there was something that he saw in his brethren that he must bring to the attention of his father. So he had a justification. So the Chofetz Chaim writes, this heter that Yosef had to speak Lashon Hara, and he emphasizes this because this is something very common, that people speak Lashon Hara because they have a heter to. He says, this heter that Yosef HaTzadik had to speak Lashon Hara, we see how far it helped him. We see how far, how much this heter to speak Lashon Hara helped Yosef. Where through this he was sold as a slave, and he took with him all of Klal Yisrael into Egypt. Now this gives us a little background as to what kind of historical role this Avera has played. It's really an enigma. Because as we'll see, Lashon Hara is considered the most severest Avera in the Torah. The severest of all of the Averas in the Torah. Yet we find that people have an attitude towards this which is very light-headed. And all types of people. I'm not here referring necessarily only to people who do not keep Torah mitzvahs. We're referring also to people who keep Torah mitzvahs. And there are four common reasons that we can mention why. Firstly, many people speak Lashon Hara and engross in it because they tell you that certain things you're permitted to say and certain things you're obligated to say. For example, if Reuven is looking for a worker and he hires, or he's ready to hire a certain person, and you know that that person is a ganav, he's a thief. Well, you know that that person cannot be trusted. It's a mitzvah to tell Reuven. You must tell him to protect him. Not allowed to let a man do something that will harm himself. Bring a thief into his business, or bring a thief into his house. Or another example, if someone is going to a professional, he's going to a doctor, he's going to a lawyer, and you know that doctor is not competent, or that lawyer is not competent, so it's a mitzvah to help out your fellow man and to tell him this. Or another example, if a certain young man is interested in a young girl, or a young girl is interested in a young man, and you know that there is a mum, there's a great blemish there in one of the parties, a serious fault, where chayv leidiyah. And we're talking about people that are aware of Lashon Hara. They're aware of mitzvahs, frumer people. It's because it's a mitzvah to say it. Now this is true. This is very true. That there are many times when one is obligated to inform his friend of an impending danger, and he must tell him. But there's a lot of fallacy in what we're saying. Firstly, these type of people that speak Lashon Hara, is that the only Lashon Hara they're speaking? Only to save someone from some type of danger? Secondly, when they want to speak this Lashon Hara, who do they tell it to? Do they tell it to the one who they're trying to protect? Or do they tell it to their wife and to their husband and to their brothers and to their neighbors and all over the community? That this person is a ganav, this person, there's something wrong with it. What does it have to do with the others? And thirdly, if the Gemara says the Lashon Hara is as severe as Gilarai Shvichas Domim Vaverizora, as idolatry and adultery and incest and spilling of blood. And there's another Gemara in Masechta Erechin that says Kol HaMesapel Lashon Hara Magdil Avenis Keneged Avedizora Gilarai Shvichas Domim. That whoever speaks Lashon Hara, his Averis are going to be higher than the three most severe Averis of the Torah. This means that when there is a time when it's proper to speak Lashon Hara, and even a mitzvah to speak Lashon Hara, but you must deal with this in the same manner that you would be dealing with Averis Ora Gilarai Sushvichas Domim. There's a time to kill also. Just recently we gave a shir on Shvichas Domim. There's a time to kill. There's many times that we are commanded by the Torah that we must kill. But is that something that's taken lightly with a snap of the fingers? Or is it something that's dealt with the utmost seriousness and kevid reish that's possible? Sure, there are times when one is commanded to inform his friend of an impending danger. But firstly, that's if he knows for sure, without a doubt, his suspicions are confirmed. And secondly, that's if his friend does not know about it. If his friend knows about it, so then what? If his friend knows about it and he's still willing to go through with the particular undertaking, so what does this one have to do with it? And thirdly, that's only after he's judged the situation with such care that he realizes that he's dealing with very, very serious matters. Like the Chofetz Chaim said on Yosef HaTzadik, that we see all of his heterim, what did they help him with? And fourthly, if on conclusion he feels he's still obligated to inform his friend, then that's to his friend, but no other person in the world. But meanwhile, people go and they tell a whole community. And fifthly, only there, in this particular instance, not when it comes to other matters, to other Loshon Hara. So this is one reason which is machshel, which misleads a lot of people, and we see the fallacy in it. A second point: people are not cognizant, either because of ignorance or because they do not want to be cognizant of the mahus isur. Of what does it mean to speak Loshon Hara? What is the isur? What is the prohibition? Some people might feel that only if you have actually killed the person with your tongue, that's Loshon Hara. But if you say other things, this is not Loshon Hara. Not true. Hamesaper beginus chaverei, that if you speak negatively about another Jew, this means that if you speak in a derogatory manner, if you make a negative statement, if you make a negative remark, or even an intimation against another Jew's character, against his personality, against his honor, against his reputation, against his integrity, this is Loshon Hara. And I feel a bit new color. And even if it's not a full, it's a casual remark, but it's deikrin as chavereihem becharvei shem l'shemem. They are stabbing their friends in the back with the swords of their tongues. Many times we see someone will say, and that person, oh, he's a little strange. He's a little odd. He's a little slow. He's not a very sociable type. He's not a very friendly type. These are remarks that go by in the hundreds. This is Loshon Hara. Loshon Hara with the entire chema, with the entire severity. Because he has now placed a blemish in that person's reputation in the eyes of the other person. The other person will remember this fellow's a little odd. He's a little slow. He's not a friendly type. And this is something that the Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we saw and will see even more, does not appreciate. And you hear people cholila all the time, and truma people who keep Torah and keep mitzvahs, it's nothing for them to make a remark, oh, he's a little odd, a little strange, a little slow. They're not cognizant of what constitutes Loshon Hara. A third point, Chemere Isra. People are not cognizant the severity of the Isra, how the Torah treats it. To give you an idea of how the Torah treats this, besides what we have just quoted, the Chofetz Chaim makes a calculation that when someone speaks Loshon Hara, there's a possibility where he can transgress 17 negative commandments, 14 positive commandments, and bring himself under 14 curses. 17 negative commandments, 14 positive commandments, and 14 curses. It would be far much better for a person, when he would open his mouth to speak Lashon Hara, if he would close it by eating the Velus and Trefus, he would be far much better in the world to come. The old Litvisher used to have a saying, it's more important what comes out of your mouth than what goes in your mouth. It's a very important saying. It would be far more better, in case someone didn't hear me the first time, I'll repeat it, that if every time a person opened his mouth to speak Lashon Hara, if he would close it with Trefus and Avelis, he'd have a much greater chelik in the world to come. The Chofetz Chaim writes, in his Psicho, he says that if you study the issue, you will find shikamat heim kelelin kol halavin va'esein shimotze bein odim lechavere, that when someone speaks Lashon Hara, he is almost transgressing every positive and negative commandment in the Torah which refers to man and his fellow man. And also harbin bibin odel mokom, and also many between man and the Almighty. So how can this be compared to Nevelis and Trefus? When someone eats Nevelis, he transgresses one commandment. When someone eats Trefus, he transgresses one commandment. And when someone speaks Lashon Hara, the Chofetz Chaim can write that there's a possibility almost all of the positive and negative commandments in the Torah, when someone makes a remark against another person that deal with man and his fellow man, and also many that deal with man and the Almighty. The Chofetz Chaim brings another point. In his Hakdama, he brings the Gemara in Sanhedrin. This was during the time of Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Rabbi Shua ben Levi met Eliyahu HaNavi. And he asked Eliyahu, when is the Mashiach going to come? Now Rabbi Shua ben Levi lived a long time ago. He lived over 1,000 years ago. So the Golos was not that long yet. He lived maybe over 1,500 years ago. And he asked Eliyahu, when is the Mashiach going to come? And Eliyahu answered him, Im bekeli sishma'un yovei Mashiach. When you listen to my voice, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, then the Mashiach will come. That means that if you listen to my voice, the Mashiach will come immediately. If not, you'll have to be 1,000 years in the Golos. The Chofetz Chaim writes, we're 2,000 years in the Golos, and still the Mashiach has not come. He says, the answer is because the Mashiach will not come until the cause of the Golos has been removed. And the cause of the Golos, he writes, he brings like we bring, is Lashon Hara. And since this Aveira is still rampant amongst us, then Mashiach cannot come. This means that someone who speaks Lashon Hara, he writes, is Mi'akev es HaMashiach. He prevents the Mashiach from coming. So how is it then? It's an enigma. You have people who keep mitzvahs. They keep Shabbos. They're medaktik. They're exacting when it comes to mitzvahs. But yet they're makir the Mashiach. They stop the Mashiach from coming. And he brings that the fact that the Mashiach isn't here, besides all of the bloodshed that these people are causing, because every day that we're in the Golus, Jewish lives are in danger. This is a fact. But he says also, not only in physically but spiritually to Klal Yisrael, because the fact that we're not in Eretz Yisrael, that's a spiritual punishment also. Because there are tremendous amount of mitzvahs that we cannot fulfill because we are not in Eretz Yisrael, because we do not have the Beis HaMikdash. It was not only a physical punishment, it was a spiritual punishment. This means that not only is this a cause of the physical life of the Jew, loss of life, but of the spiritual life of the Jew in Eilam Habo, in the world to come. And yet you have people that look at this as something very likely, and it's something you can do. We once quoted from the Gaon what the Gaon writes on Lashon Hara. Now the Gaon was known as Hagon HaChosid. This is what he was referred to. Many times in Vilna, when someone said the Chosid, they referred to the Gaon. And one person, one Rav here in South Africa, who was born in Vilna, he told me that the Beis HaMedrash of the Gaon still existed then, and it was called the Chosid's Beis HaMedrash. Because the Gaon was not only so great in Torah learning, but he was great in righteousness also. He wrote a letter to his family when he was going to Eretz Yisrael. The trip was aborted. But the letter he wrote, I will not quote everything he writes in regards to the Chet HaLoshon, to what a person does with his tongue. Just a little. He writes, Ba'akol yovi ba'mishpar al-kol dibur, v'lei never afilu dibur kal. Person will have to give judgment on every word that he says. Not one word will be lost. Ki chet ha-loshon al-kulay. Now the Gaon knew Kol HaTorah Kula. He knew the entire Torah. Nigle v'nister, the revealed Torah and the concealed Torah. He wrote some 40, besides writing on the whole Shas, he knew. He wrote some 40 Sforim on the Kabbalah. And he writes, Ki chet ha-loshon al-kulay. The Aveira of the tongue is the greatest Aveira. And why do I have to elaborate on this Aveira, which is more severe than all of the Aveiras in the Torah? What do I have to elaborate when the Chazal have elaborated to the ultimate already? The Eifshel Shair Godel HaYesurin VaHatzoris. It's impossible for a person to comprehend what he will have to pay for one word. That is a word that a person is not allowed to say. And if a person thinks, I'll say something and nobody will notice it, I'll slip it by, he writes that there's not one word that is not written down. He says, if a person wants to become great in this world, he says he doesn't have to afflict himself with fasts, doesn't have to afflict himself with hardships. He should afflict himself by controlling his mouth and his desires. Let him control his mouth where he will not say anything that he is not allowed to. And every minute that a person does this is zeche bishvilei leor hagonu shein malach uber yechelim leshayer. A person will be zeche to a light which is concealed to the world, that even the angels cannot comprehend. This is the greatness a person can come to by guarding his mouth. As it states, Mi'aishe Chofetz Chaim Oyev Yomim Lereshtei, who is the man who wants life and long years, Netzol Lishon Chemaraz for Secha Bedabe Mimo. Let him guard his tongue from evil and his lips from Mirmo, his lips from deceit. Ubeze Yehupa Lei Kol Oven. And this is a kapora, he says, for all Averis. The person will guard his mouth, Yehupa Kol Oven. This is a kapora, an atonement from all Averis. As it states, Moves V'chaim B'yad HaLoshon, that death and life is in the hands of the tongue. These are some of the words which he writes in regards to this Aveiro. So it's an enigma. It's a wonder. And that's because people either are not cognizant or they don't want to be cognizant of what the severity of this issue is. And then there's a fourth point, which brings people to speaking Lashon Hara a lot. And that is, people want to say, look, it's only talk. Talk is cheap. Did I take his money from him? Did I strike him? I made a remark. Can't make a remark against a person. I did it jokingly. Are you trying to tell me that the Torah demands from us that we must sit and never talk about people? How can you demand such a thing? Is that logical or right to demand from people that they shouldn't speak about other people? That they can't even make a remark? To limit themselves so much, and what are they doing? This is what people think. According to the Torah, and according to the Chazal, people that talk like that, you should realize, are Rishoyim. They are Rishoyim, wicked, and you're not allowed to be Lodur Bishchunosei. You're not allowed to live in their neighborhoods, as we'll see as the Rambam writes. Why? It's a simple thing. Simple reason. The greatest attribute that a man has, the Mishnah tells us, is his name, his reputation. Gimel Ksorim, three crowns were given to Klal Yisrael, the crown of Torah, the crown of kingship, and the crown of priesthood. The Keser Shem Tov Eilal Gabehem, and even a greater crown is a crown of honor. The crown of your good name. And one of the first promises that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made to Moshe Rabbeinu, to Avraham, when he told him to Lech Lecho Me'Arzecho, go and leave your family, he said, Va'agad Lo Shemecho, I will make your name great. I will give you a name forever. And every man is very strong-minded when it comes to his reputation. Every man is very adamant when it comes to his honor. and remarks destroy a person's reputation. Professionals know that. Professionals are very, very careful about making remarks about their professional colleagues. They could be sued in court for and held for libel, damaging a professional reputation. And Jews also should know that. There are many, many times when a person makes a little remark, he might not even have to say it, he just has to make with his eyes. And that person could be considered for a very important position one day. And the man who was in charge of the appointments remembers, I once heard something about this person, let's not get involved. Could affect that person's whole life. A bocher could be looking for a young lady for a shidduch, or a young lady could be looking for a bocher for a shidduch, and a name is proposed, and one of the parties remembers, I once heard someone say something about him. I once heard a remark. No, I don't want her. I don't want her. Could have ramifications for generations. The shidduch could be destroyed. She could remain unmarried. It affects generations. How dare someone say, why should the Torah tell me I can't talk about people? How dare someone should say, it's only talk. You have a right to shoot your fellow man. Then how dare you open your mouth, which besmirks his reputation, is Shem Tov. When Shem Tov Eila Al Gabehem, when that's the greatest crown that was given to man. And therefore, Rosho Ator, the Gemara says, you're a Rosho, V'osa Lodo Bishkunosei. You're not even allowed to be in the presence of a person like that. This is a fourth reason why people are nichshol, they're tripped up in this, because they don't want to think. It's only talk. Meanwhile, what would be if the shoe was on the other foot? If someone is talking about you? If someone is talking about your father or where you came from? In all of what we're saying, one shouldn't think is philosophy. It all has a place in halacha. But Rambam brings some very, very definite halachos. Unfortunately, very severe. The Rambam brings in Perek Zayin Mehilchos Deos. He says, someone who's a rochel is someone who hears Reuven say something about Shimon, and then he goes to Shimon and he tells Shimon, you know what Reuven said about you. So he's not saying the Lashon Hara, he's just carrying it. Someone who's a rochel transgresses a negative commandment. And even though the Beis Din cannot give lashes for this, because it does not involve physical action, Oven Godel Hu Vegedem Lahareg Nefoshis Rabbis the Israel, that person should know that he's a Shefek Domim, he's a murderer. Because it's an a great Aveira, and he's causing to kill many people in Israel. That's why the Torah tells us the transgression of Rochel, right next to the transgression of Leisamed Al Dam Reecho, that you shall not stand by and see your fellow man die. To teach us that he who speaks Rechilas is the same who stands by and sees his fellow Jew die. The
Then the Rambam tells us, Afal Pishu Hu Emes, even though it's true, Hareze Machri Vesa Eilam. He has destroyed the world. Then he says, Yesh Oven Godel Mizeh. There's another Avera which is even greater than this. And that's Loshna Hora. But Hu Amesape Begnus Havere Afal Pishu Hu Emes. And that's when you say something negative about your fellow man, even though it's true. If you say a lie, that's something else. That's Maitzi Shemra. Then the Rambam says another thing. Aval Baal Loshon Hora Zeh Sheyeshi Ve'emer Kach Ve'kach Osepleini Kach Ve'kach. But what about a Baal Loshon Hora? A Baal Loshon Hora who sits and he says, this is what so and so did, this is what his fathers did, this is what I heard about him. And the Gnai derogatory, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that I will cut down all of those who speak this way. Now the Rama mentions four categories. There's the Rochel, the one who carries Loshon Hora from one person to another. There's the one who speaks Loshon Hora. That's when it's true. There's the one who speaks lies about another person which are derogatory. That's even more severe. And then there's the Baal Loshon Hora. What is the Baal Loshon Hora? The Baal Loshon Hora, the Kesef Mishnah tells us, is the one who does it constantly. There are people who speak Loshon Hora incidentally, once in a while, and then there's the one who does it constantly. The one who does it constantly, that's very severe. That is very severe. And that the Chofetz Chaim brings in his sefer, in his section Mekor Chaim, Siv Gimel, Klal Aleph, Siv Gimel, calls it afilo imrak b'mikro. If a person does it in an incidental manner, that's what we were speaking about till now. But someone who always does this, his pattern and habit is to constantly speak, like those that sit all the time and they talk. They're always talking about someone else. They're always talking about someone else's family or someone else's personality or what someone else is doing. Their business is always by someone else. These are called by the sages Balei Loshon Hora. And their punishment is even greater, since they do this openly and they do this with arrogance, and it becomes hefker, becomes as if it's permissible by them. And on these, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that he will cut down all of these people. So this is important to know, that the highest degree or the lowest degree is the Baal Loshon Hora. Then the Rambam brings Omru Chachomim Shlei Shaveres Nifroim Ina Odem Beilam Azeh Vein Lechelek Leilam Abo. There are three Averes which punishment is exacted from the person in this world, and he loses his portion in the world to come. And this is idolatry, incest and adultery, and bloodshed. The Loshon Hora Keneged Kulam. And Loshon Hora is equal to all three. Loshon Hora kills three people: the one who says it, the one who listens to it and accepts it, and the one who is it said about, and the one who accepts it. Yesen mina imre. He is guilty. Not he is guilty at least as much as the one who says it, but the Rambam brings he's guilty even more
the one who accepts it from him. Now, the Rambam tells us, what happens if someone speaks Loshon Hara Derech Schaik V'Derech Kalas Reish? He speaks it jokingly. This is what Shlaima HaMelech said, Hayere Zikim Chitzim Umeis V'Oma Halei Mesachekani. This is the same as the person who throws an arrow, shoots an arrow at a person, kills him, and he says, I was only joking. This is in reference to those who say Loshon Hara and as a joke. That they say, I didn't really mean anything. I didn't mean to harm him. So I just said it as a little bit, as a little joke. Meanwhile, the other person was the subject of the joke. So Shlaima HaMelech says on this, this is the same as someone who shoots an arrow at a person, he kills him, and he says, Alei Mesachek Ani, but I was only joking. Also, if someone speaks Loshon Hara, Derech Ramos. If someone speaks Loshon Hara in a way where he tries to make off that it's not Loshon Hara, but the message gets through, it's also Loshon Hara. Kol Eilu Heim Balei Loshon Hara She'osur Lodur Bishkeinosu. So great do we have to be careful from this Avera that if a person is a Baal Loshon Hara, you are not allowed to live in his neighborhood. And how much more so to sit with them and to listen with them. The Rambam says this is forbidden. Many people say, well, I couldn't do anything about it. We were sitting and they were saying, Loshon Hara, what can I do? I have to be polite. First of all, the Chofetz Chaim writes, you have to be polite. I mean, this is, you have to know what to be polite on also. You have people here sitting killing other people and you're polite. But the Aveda is, you're not allowed to sit. And the decree that came on our fathers in the desert, which we explained was the source of all of this, this was on Loshon Hara. This is what the Rambam brings in Perek Zayin. In Hilchos Tshuvos Perek Gimel, Halacha Vav, the Rambam brings something even stronger. And it's something that we must be cognizant of. Perek Gimel, Halacha Vav, he says there's a group of people which do not have a portion in the world to come, but they are cut off and they are lost and they are judged because of their tremendous wickedness, le'olam u'le'olmei elomim, forever. And he lists the people, and that's, for example, Amin is someone who, or Napikeris ba'kefrim, these are different types of people who deny the Almighty, or someone who denies the Torah, or someone who causes the tzibur, the congregation, to go astray. He leads the congregation astray from Hashem. And then he writes, Ubalei Loshon Hara. And those who constantly speak Loshon Hara are in this category. That they, Cholila, heaven forbid, they lose their portion in the world to come. And their riches, their wickedness is so great that they will be judged forever on it. Then in Perek Dalet from Hilchos Tshuva, he writes that there are 24 different types of people at the end of Perek Gimel, he states, this is all though in regards to if the person doesn't do tshuva. But if he does tshuva, which means that he gives up speaking Loshon Hara, and he is shemer piv, he guards his mouth, then ein lecha davar shemer bifnei tshuva. Then nothing stands in the way of tshuva. Afilo kofar biker kol yom, even if he denied HaKadosh Baruch Hu all of his days. But if he does a truthful tshuva to Hashem, he returns to Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts him. Then he writes in Perek Daled that there are 24 different types of people that will have very difficult time doing tshuva though. They will have a very difficult time. And at the end of that perek, he writes that one of the categories of which five people are included, the Bali Loshon Hora is included. That he who speaks Rechilus and Loshon Hora, he will have a very difficult time for doing tshuva. Why? Because these Averas are the type of Averas Shekosha Lifreish Mehem. If a person gets in the habit of doing them, they are very difficult to separate from. A person is drawn after it to the point where tshuva is possible, but very, very difficult. This is what the Rambam writes, Derech Halocha. Pshak Halocha, as far as Halocha is concerned, in regards to this Aveira. The Maralmi Pragin is Nesiva Loshen. He brings from Shlaima HaMelech, King Solomon, where he wrote in Mishlei, Achaim ve'amoves biyad haloshon ve'oyhaveh ho'yechlu piryo. Life and death is in the hand of the tongue. And though those who love the tongue will eat from its fruit. We must realize here that the tongue, cholila, is not only negative. The same negative force, it has a positive force. Shlema Melech writes, Achaim ve'amoves. That just like death is beheld in the tongue, life also is beheld in the tongue. And those who use it for whatever use they might will eat from its fruits. And the Gemara brings in Masecht Erechin. Says, what does it mean that the tongue, the Yad HaLoshon, the hands of the tongue, does the tongue have a hand? So it tells us that just like a person's hand can kill, the tongue also can kill. That's why he said Yad HaLoshon, in the hands of the tongue. A tongue can kill. That's the first thing a person must realize. If he realizes that, he'll guard his tongue more carefully. The Gemara says if it's like a hand, so does it mean it can kill like a hand? A hand can only kill what's in the reach of a person? So it brings a pasuk to tell me, no, the tongue is like a chetz shochut. The tongue is like a speedy arrow. Then the Gemara asks, if it's like a speedy arrow, does that mean it can kill only up to 40 or 50 amos, the distance that an arrow can go? And then the Gemara brings a pasuk which states, Shosu b'shamayim pihem u'lishenim tahalech bo'oretz. It's possible for a person's tongue to even affect what's in the heavens when he's standing on the ground. So we see three things, the Maral says. Firstly, we see that the tongue is like a hand which can kill, but it includes both death and life. Secondly, we see it has the speed of an arrow, and thirdly, it is not limited. A person can stand here and kill on the other side of the world. Why is that? This is the first thing a person must realize, that the tongue is the most powerful force of the human being. And because it is not limited to a physical essence, a hand is physical, therefore it can only kill what's within reach. An arrow is physical, therefore it can only kill for 40 or 50 amas. The tongue is not physical. Speech is not physical. It's not tangible. Therefore, there is no limitation. It can kill like the hand, but it's not limited. And while everything else takes time, the tongue doesn't take time. It can strike immediately. In an instant, it can kill, like a speedy arrow. And it encompasses and incorporates life and death. Now, why does it encompass and incorporate life and death? We find many times the Chazal tell us Haloshen Tilsoi. The tongue is threefold. One right here. The Gemara says three aspects in the tongue. Another example says that the tongue kills three people. The one who speaks, the one who it's spoken of, and the one who he speaks to. Thirdly, the Gemara says that the Loshon Hara is equal to the three Averis, which we mentioned. So we see that the tongue is threefold. Why? What does this mean? Man was made of three parts. He has a physical body. He was given a life within him, which is the emotions of man, and he was given the mentality. The tongue is not from any one of these sections in particular, but rather the tongue, the power of speech, comes from and therefore combines all three. The tongue is physical. A person cannot speak without a physical tongue. The power of speech is linked to the emotions of man, and it's linked to the mentality, to the mind of man. And therefore, it's not limited, but it comes from all three sections of man. And this is why Unkelus, in his Targum on Chumash, writes in Bereishis Beis Pasuk Zayin, "Vayitzer Hashem Elokim es Odom Ofer min Adoma vayipach ba'apov nishmas chayim." HaKadosh Baruch Hu formed man from the dust of the earth, and he blew into his nostrils a living soul. "Vayhi Odom lo nefesh chaya." After Hashem took man from the dust of the earth and he blew into his nostrils a living soul, then he became a nefesh chaya. The Targum writes, what does it mean he became a nefesh chaya? The ruach memalalo. Rashi brings, Deva Dibur. He became a speaker. Because the perfection of man was this power of speech. Because all of the other sections of man are only a section. The power of speech draws from every part of man and thereby incorporates every part of man. You cannot say man is only physical. You cannot say man is only mental. Man is only emotional. He's the combination of all three. And this is brought out through the power of speech. And therefore, the power of speech has a greater force than any other force in man. That's what the Mishnah tells us that we quoted before. It says that if someone forces a woman, if he rapes a single woman, or if he seduces her, he has to pay a penalty of 50 shkolim. If he slanders her, he has to pay a penalty of 100. Why? Because in the first case, his act was physical. In the second case, the act was done by man in his entirety. Man in his entirety, then he has to pay 100 shkolim. Because 100 shkolim, silver pieces, this represents the perfect, complete unit. But if man acts only through one unit of his, then he pays a half. So he pays 50. And therefore, if a person commits idolatry, an act of adultery or incense, this is an act coming from the physical body, but he has used only one unit of man. But when he commits an act with his tongue, this is man in his totality. And therefore
It's Magdil Aveinus Kenegid. His Aveiras are equal to all three. And so is it with negative, and so is it with positive. And therefore, Hachayim v'hamoves, life and death, are held within the power of man. Medrash brings Maisa Berechel Echod. There was a salesman. He was going around from one city to another. The Omar, and he said, "Man boy sam chayim, who wants a sam chayim? Who wants to buy a drug which will give life to a person?" The daughter of Rabbi Yannai heard. Also the Omar Lavia, so she went to her father Rabbi Yannai. She told him what he's selling. So he called in this man and he said, "Hareini noise samchaim, show me this drug that brings life to a person." So the salesman took out from his bag a sefer tehillim. He opened it till he came to the posuk, "Mio ishe chovetz chaim, oiv yomim lireis toiv." Who is the person that loves life, wants to see long years? Let him guard his tongue from evil. Holach Rabbi Yannai, when Rabbi Yannai heard this, he fed him, and he gave him to drink, and he gave him 6 sloim. His daughter came to Rabbi Yannai and she said, "Didn't you know this posuk? You must have known this sentence before he told you." He said, "Yes, but this man came and he clarified it for me." Now what did he do? So the Mala explains, there are many things in the Torah that tells us that brings life to a person. So why this posuk? There is nothing which is so close to a person because of what we mentioned as his power of speech. The Torah also brings life to a person. But Torah is not so close to a person. It's far from a person. It's above the person. There are many mitzvahs that bring life to a person, but they're beyond the person. A person has to strive tremendously to reach them. The power of speech is something which is within the person, close to him all the time. Not only is it part of him, but it incorporates every part of the human being. When a person takes a drug, if the drug is too far from him, it won't have such an effect. If it's close to him, then it will be effective. And this is what Rabbi Yannai learned. That from all of the promises that something can bring us life, when he heard this posuk, "Mio ishe chofetz chaim," who wants life? Nitzor l'shein chemeira, guard your tongue, he realized this. That the tongue being so close and so much part and parcel of the entire human being, therefore it can incorporate the entire human being and can have the greatest force. Whether it's l'chaim for life or l'cholilo, whether it's l'mobis. That's why its force is unlimited. Omar Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish said, "Im yochush hanochash beleilachash." The serpent destroys without desire. "Ve'osi lovai," in the world to come, all of the animals will gather around the serpent, and they will come to him with a question. They will say, "The lion kills to eat. The wolf tears to eat. Ato mahano yeshlocho. But what desire do you have?" A serpent, if he confronts someone, he'll bite him, he'll kill him, even though he's not going to eat him. This is unlike any other animal. And in the world to come, when things will be sorted out, and we'll see exactly what's what, So we will notice this deviation, that there's a deviation from the entire world through the serpent. So all of the other animals will come to him and they'll ask him, why are you different than everyone else? You know what he'll answer? He'll say, I'm not different than anyone else. Ma yisun lebalaloshen. The slanderer, why is he any different than I am? We can understand someone that eats something that he's not supposed to because he has a desire to eat. Someone that steals something that's not his, he has a desire for that thing. But someone who speaks Loshon Hara, the serpent says, what did he have from it? What did he have from it? Did he have a physical, enjoyment from it? Did he have an emotional enjoyment from it? It's almost to the point where it's psychopathic. And that's what they said on the snake. You're a psychopathic murderer. And the snake will say, well, why am I different than the balaloshen, than the slanderer? He also is. Now from this, the Maral tells us that we must realize when a person wants to speak Loshon Hara, he must realize that that's the keach hara, the evil that's in him, that the serpent brought into the world. And that is a deviation to the entire Seder HaBriya, to the entire order of the universe. Because the order of the universe was given that people are driven to what they have a desire for, if it's a physical desire or emotional desire or a mental desire. And that's where the Yetzer Hara is. The Yetzer Hara drives a person through his physical or emotions or his mental powers. He wants to read what he shouldn't read. He wants to eat what he shouldn't eat. The snake brought into the world an evil that is known as Etzem Hara, an evil in essence. Not an evil that people are driven to because of a great desire or passion or Yetzer Hara, but because they're driven to, because they want evil in its essence. This was the snake. If you meet an animal and he's not hungry, he'll leave you alone. If you'll meet a snake and he's not hungry, he'll attack you. This was the nature that came down into the snake. And this is the evil that came into people. And this is the power of the Loshon, the Keach HaLoshon. And we should see from there also what happened to the snake. The snake became an outcast from the world. Evo Oshis, I shall make hatred between you and women forever, between her seed and your seed forever. She shall try to crush her head and you will try to poison her heel. Therefore the Maral writes, a person shouldn't think that if he speaks Loshon Hara, it's like other Averis. It's not like other Averis. Other Averis he's driven to. Loshon Hara he's not driven to. And therefore if he speaks it, it comes from the essence Hara, because it's wickedness, it's evil in its ultimate. This was the power of the Nochosh that destroyed, was the Mashchis that destroyed the universe. And he's doing this with the greatest power of man. Therefore it poisons like the snake can poison. On the other hand, if he uses his dibor, his speech, for good, if he uses it to speak in Torah, to speak mitzvahs, to do chesed, to do kindliness, to make people happy, again he is using his greatest power that man was given for good. This is what Shlaima Melech said, that Hachaim v'hamoves biyar halosh, that death and life
are in the hands of the tongue. And those who love the tongue will eat from its fruits in accordance to the way they shall use it. And Be'ezras Hashem, we should see, with the help of God, that this Aveira, that the tongue should be used for life, not for death. And we should be zeche to see the Geula b'mheira of Yomeinu. Amen.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.